It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. I'm filling in for Sandy, and we have a very special guest today, someone that you've probably seen. She has seemingly come out of nowhere, if you will, through her very poignant use of social media, and she's someone who's been in the news many times. I'm sure you've seen her on Facebook and other social media platforms. Her name is Elizabeth Johnston, but you probably know her better as the activist mommy. That's who our guest is today on Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. We're going to have some opportunity for you later in the program to call in and talk to the activist mommy. She is an inspiration to so many of us. She's leading a full life, married with children, has children of, we'll talk about it, get a little idea how many children she has and how does she actually teach all these children and do what she is doing on social media. So we want to welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Elizabeth Johnston, the activist mommy. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Elizabeth. Oh, sorry, I thought she was going to be here early on in the program, but she is calling in a little bit later. She has a lot of things to do in the morning, as you can imagine. She will be joining us in just a few moments, but what we're going to be talking about is a wide variety of subject matters, including the Boy Scouts. She has a lot to say about it. You probably have a lot to say about that as well. Do you have sons or do you know of children that are in the Boy Scouts? What do you think about the Boy Scouts now saying that they will actually open up the doors to girls? We're going to talk to Elizabeth Johnston about that. But we're also going to be talking about some other things as well that affect our family, faith, and freedom. Last week, President Donald Trump was very, very busy. Last week, he issued executive orders with regards to the matter of Obamacare. He issued 3 executive orders with regards to Obamacare. He issued one in which I'm very happy about. We were litigating this for a number of years. We filed the actual first private lawsuit against Obamacare, raising the issue of religious freedom and the mandate that was part of Obamacare, particularly the contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices mandate. Last week, President Donald Trump issued an executive order saying that that is no longer going to be part of Obamacare. He is not going to force employers to provide free contraception, abortion-inducing drugs, and devices. That was a major decision, and we applaud the president for doing that. Not just talk, but action. Lots of presidents and lots of politicians are full of talk, but not very many are full of action. This president has been one of specific, decisive action. But he went further than that. He issued another executive order. And on that executive order, he indicated that we were going to now be able to have small businesses that would participate in insurance pools to have lower cost insurance that is tailored to what they need. In other words, you don't have to spend money on things you don't need. When you go buy car insurance, you can specifically indicate what kind of insurance you want, what kind of levels of coverage you want. The same with other kinds of insurance. You can specifically tailor the insurance to your needs. But with Obamacare, it was almost a one-size-fits-all. So you had to buy things that you would never use. You would have to pay for things that are not relevant to you. But now, under this second executive order, President Obama said that small businesses will have the opportunity to enter into insurance pools to have low-cost coverage. You can also have shorter-term insurance if you want. And even more so, you can buy insurance across state lines. You know, when Obamacare was being passed, the insurance companies, I should say the pharmaceutical companies and the insurance companies, wanted to not get involved in this competition. They didn't want insurance being purchased across state lines, and they didn't want you to be able to purchase lower cost drugs in Canada. And somewhat as a compromise, they decided not to oppose Obamacare if that wouldn't be part of the legislation. Well, now President Donald Trump says the free market should dictate, and we should be able to purchase the best insurance plan for our particular needs, even if it's in a state other than the one in which we reside. But then he issued a third executive order. And this executive order basically puts Obamacare in the hospice position. It's basically on life support at this point, and it doesn't have much longer to live. This is the unconstitutional, unlawful subsidies that President Obama was paying to these insurance companies. Under the court decision, which the Republicans filed a lawsuit during the Obama administration timeframe, a lower court ultimately ruled in favor of the Republicans. That case is pending appeal, and a final decision had not yet been determined. It's going to be moot now in light of President Donald Trump's executive order. But the lower court ruled that it is unconstitutional that President Obama and the administration under his regime had no authority to pay benefits to these insurance companies, to pay these subsidies to prop up the insurance company. And this year, the benefits were going to be about $7 billion, with a B, dollars, $7 billion. Next year, $9 billion. Over a 10-year period, $100 billion would be paid by the taxpayers to prop up these insurance companies to provide a policy that people don't need and it's too costly for people to afford. President Obama, that was unlawful. President Donald Trump did the right thing. He is following the Constitution. I know the left got all up in arms. They're going crazy over that. In fact, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi say that President Trump is sabotaging Obamacare. You know what? Obamacare is imploding on its own effort. He doesn't have to do a lot. He just follows the Constitution. We're not going to pay these subsidies to support Obamacare. And therefore, if we're not going to pay the subsidies because it's unlawful, because remember, the House is the one that ultimately provides the expenditures. Spending bills originate from the House. The House didn't authorize these expenditures. How in the world did Obama get away with bypassing Congress and deciding on his own to prop up these insurance companies by giving these subsidies, committing the United States taxpayers to $100 billion over a 10-year period? $7 billion this year alone have been wasted of your dollars. Your hard-earned dollars have been wasted to prop up this failing system. So President Trump is not sabotaging Obamacare. Obamacare is imploding on its own design. This will ultimately bring down Obamacare because it cannot survive without the federal government's help to prop up the Obamacare failing insurance program. Now, with these three executive orders, the one that says we no longer have to be forced to provide free contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices, which is frankly reprehensible to begin with, two, that small businesses can buy or pool to get good health insurance and individuals can tailor some insurance for their own desires and their own needs, and we can buy insurance across state lines. And three, that the federal government will no longer provide Obamacare subsidies to these insurance companies. That's unlawful to begin with. Based on those three executive orders alone, that's why I say Obamacare is in hospice right now. It's on life support. It has, if you will, a terminal illness. It's just a matter of time before it implodes, and it will implode on its own weight. In some places, there's only one insurance company, one, that people have a choice. That's not a choice. Because Obamacare has run all the other insurance companies out of town. They simply cannot afford to carry on with Obamacare. Now, what this means is that when Congress has this deadlock and they can't even repeal Obamacare, the Republicans in the Senate can't get enough people to stay on the same vote to repeal Obamacare, then President Trump, he allowed them to try to do this. They should have been able to do it. They promised. They actually repealed it before. Some of the senators like Collins and Murkowski, they voted to repeal before when Obama was in office, knowing that Obama would veto it, and therefore they could go to their constituents and say, well, they voted against Obamacare, but we need more people in the Senate because Obama vetoed it. Now, when we've got a president who will actually sign a repeal, they won't repeal it. And John McCain, he won't repeal it. Well, you know what? If they're not going to act and do their job, and they better get their act together, President Trump is going to do his job, and that's what he did last week. So this is a significant development in the issue of Obamacare. Frankly, if we go back even before what President Trump did, I think all of us were disappointed when at the last minute we saw this 5-4 decision with Chief Justice John Roberts upholding Obamacare. That particular decision should have ultimately ended Obamacare long ago, because clearly Congress, based upon the precedents at that time, had no authority to enact Obamacare. There's just simply no way in the Constitution that the federal government can force you and I to purchase a specific product and give a penalty if we don't purchase that product. It's frankly shocking that that decision is even there, and it has done tremendous damage to the Constitution of the United States. So, yes, Obamacare, I think, is going to end on its own. It will implode. Congress will then have to deal with that because there's not going to be any more Obamacare to uphold. But on the other hand, that decision at the United States Supreme Court, the 5-4 decision, where Chief Justice John Roberts changed his vote in the middle of the deliberation process, that decision has done horrendous damage to the Constitution, because what it does is it gives power to the federal government of an enormous magnitude that the Constitution never envisioned the federal government should have. That was something far beyond what the Constitution allowed. You cannot allow the federal government to force you and I to buy a particular kind of insurance, not just insurance, but a particular brand and style of insurance. If, in fact, the federal government has that kind of authority, then the federal government can force you and I to buy a particular make and model of a car. Now, it sounds strange, but if the government can tell you and I that we have to buy insurance of a particular brand with certain kinds of so-called essential elements in it, and if we don't, we'll be punished, penalized, fined by the IRS, then the federal government has unlimited amounts of power. Eventually, we need additional Supreme Court justices on the bench that will revisit that issue and overturn that Obamacare decision. We have one with Justice Gorsuch, but we may have a couple more down the road. We need new blood in Congress to do the right thing. New people with courage. We need people on the bench, at the Supreme Court, and every other level who ultimately will interpret the Constitution according to its original intent. Well, we're going to go to our break in just a few moments. And when we come back from our break, we're going to introduce to you the activist mommy, Elizabeth Johnston, and I know you're going to have some questions and comments. Stay tuned on Sandy Rios in the Morning. We'll be right back after these messages.
American Family Radio, equipping you to change the culture.
My name is Teresa. I own a taxi business. I drive all day long. I pick up people, take them to the doctor all day long. One day I climbed into my van, and I never even knew this radio station existed, and it was just on. And I believe with all my heart that God put it on the radio for me. I am a witness for the Lord. I have had lots of opportunity to lead people to the Lord. Listening to your station only gives me more confidence. I have followed in faith by opening this company, and AFR just really lifts me up in spirit and lets me know that I'm doing the right thing. Just encourages me and my clients.
Your partnership makes a difference. Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon starting tomorrow. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
You know, you'd buy a bicycle and you'd ride it and you'd fall and you'd skin your elbow, you'd skin your knee, and you'd bump the side of your head. I know some people are going to get very upset with me as soon as I say this. Well, now our children buy a bicycle and they've got knee pads and elbow pads and a padded shirt and a helmet on their head, so they fall and they never learn, what is a fall and how to deal with a fall and why you shouldn't fall, because they've been so protected. Now, having said that, yes, I think we ought to protect the heads of our children when they ride bicycles. But I just want to use that metaphor to show us that sometimes we overly protect our children from decisions and challenges of life.
In Perspective with Harry Reeder, an outreach of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama, committed to equipping Christians to worship God and to mending the hurting in Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
When it comes to the national anthem, it turns out most Americans agree with President Trump. 85% say they always stand in silence when they sing about the land of the free, the home of the brave. 74% with hand over heart. That's according to a new national poll conducted by Reuters. As for the National Football League, 58% of you folks say players should be required to stand during the Star Spangled Banner. But when it comes to punishing players who refuse, well, that's where Americans break with the president. 57% say players should not be fired for disrespecting the anthem. But there's another number that might be even more important. It's from Nielsen. NFL ratings are down 11% this year. In other words, NFL players may have a constitutional right to take a knee, but viewers have a constitutional right to change the channel. And they have. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. I am filling in for Sandy Rios, and I have on the line our very special guest, Elizabeth Johnston. She is also known as the Activist Mommy, and that may be how you remember her. And she has an amazing story. She is a mother. She is a wife. She teaches her children. She is also very active on social media platforms and is very innovative on communicating the message. So welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. It's an honor. I have respected and watched what you have done through Liberty Council for many years now.
Well, thank you. Since we have you on the phone here, and we're going to have some callers that we're going to have open up the phone lines in just a few moments. For the viewers that have followed you, or the listeners who have followed you, and they've seen you on social media, tell us a little bit about your background. You're married, you have children. How many children do you have, and how do you do it all?
Well, I haven't done this for all of my life. I have been married for about 20 years to a medical doctor who is also a leader in the pro-life community. And I have 10 children. My husband and I do. We are blessed to have 10 children that we homeschool. And I have really devoted the last 20 years of my life to my children and my husband. And just in the last year, I started the blogging and vlogging to really educate and inspire the public on the burning social and moral issues of the day that are important to families and patriots. I just did not feel like, especially from a female perspective, that the church necessarily had an activist voice that was really speaking to the issues confronting the lies of abortion and feminism and Islam and the homosexual agenda. And so I began doing that just in the last year, and it's been a wild ride.
It sure has. I mean, you have just skyrocketed on the social media platforms, coming from nowhere to beginning to be everywhere. So you have 10 children. Let's begin with that before we get to how you ultimately got to where you are now with the social media. What are the ranges? What's the youngest? What's the oldest?
My youngest is 1 year old, and my oldest is 19. And my kids are just incredible. They have so much to do with why I am able to do what I do. They believe in what their mom does. They're proud of their mom. They're active with me, involved with me in the ministry. My husband and my kids, this is definitely teamwork. And I want to caution the mothers in your audience that I would not have recommended taking on the task that I have taken on in my earlier years of parenting. Again, I was very laser focused on training and educating my children for the last 20 years and still am. But thankfully, the homeschooling really runs on its own kind of right now. I'm there, able to do some of the blogging work that I do, the social media work that I do, in the same room right there with the kids as they are independently working on their homeschooling during the day. I'm able to multitask.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, most people married with 10 children, they would not be able to find any time to do what you do, but you've been able to find the time. And obviously, you've got a well-run home with your husband and the other children, I'm sure, no doubt, helping. And it's just, you're just right. An inspiration to be able to be a mother, a wife of 10 children, homeschooling, and being so active on social media. Now, you said that you've been involved in social media for only about a year.
Yes, as far as the activist mommy, that's right. It's been maybe 15 months or so, and really it started, two things really alarmed me greatly. One was something that you were heavily involved with the situation with Kim Davis in Kentucky, who would not sign the homosexual marriage licenses. And I was there in Kentucky. I told my kids to pack their bags. We were going to Kentucky. I wanted my children to watch that whole episode take place in real time because, to me, Kim Davis was a hero who was being jailed for her faith in America, and I wanted my kids to watch that happen. And so we were in Kentucky for 3 weeks during all of that with Kim, and you, of course, were defending Kim, and that really kind of bolted me out of my easy chair, if you will, and really thrust me into the cultural battle, as well as Obama's transgender bathroom directive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just frightened me so terribly, and that happened right on the heels of the Kim Davis.
Yeah, yeah. Kim Davis was 2015 after July, and then Obama transgender was 2016. So back to back.
Right. And I just had never been so frightened for my children and grandchildren and the nation in which they would grow up and raise their families. I thought, you know what? This is the 11th hour. If we do not wake up and get heavily involved in this battle to protect religious freedom, to fight abortion, and all of these lies that are coming in against our children, our grandchildren, the hypersexualization of children, we are toast as a nation. And so those are some of the things that really got me, you know, active and involved. I had always been involved in pro-life ministry, but this just took it to a new level, and I started making those short little 3-4 minute videos, and you know, everything really really blew up after the Women's March video.
Yeah. And so much has happened this year, too, with President Donald Trump on Obamacare. Just before you got on the air, I was telling the audience about what happened last week, just significant executive orders that ultimately, first of all, will no longer require employers to provide contraception and abortion-inducing drugs and devices, and that's great, but that's an amazing change. Mm-hmm. But then so many other things he's doing as well with regards to Obamacare, religious freedom, and so many other things. Now, how, you know, in terms of the experience that your children had with the Kim Davis case is just incalculable. You can't get that in a classroom, obviously, but they got firsthand experience.
Amazing. Matt, it changed their lives. Honestly, if my kids could recount for you some of their most vivid and enjoyable and life-changing memories right now, if they sat down to discuss this with you, they would say, without question, those weeks that we spent really right in front of the national media in Kentucky, fighting for religious freedom, you know, alongside Kim Davis, were just incredible for them. And, you know, we were there at, we were like the only 8 or 9 people that were there at the jail when they pulled Kim Davis in the paddy wagon. We were there at Kim's church the night she got out of jail. We were there and watched Kim worship the Lord after getting, you know, released from jail, again, just for being a Christian in America, for living out her faith. How many people can say that they have gone to jail for their faith in America, and that is what Kim Davis did. And you know, my kids were just so blessed to be a part of that. And I want to encourage families, parents, you know, that's one of the beauties of homeschooling, is that, you know, you can take your homeschool on the road with you. You can give your children these amazing experiences as activists, as people on the front lines of the battle. I mean, I have a hard time believing that it's possible that one of my 10 kids won't be as active as my husband and I have been because of what they have experienced in life. Life would be way too boring for them if they didn't engage in the battle. So these are great opportunities as parents and child training tools to really teach our kids what's most important.
Did they get a chance to personally meet Kim Davis?
They did, that night in church.
Yes.
All of our kids got to talk to Kim, and she was so sweet and thanked us for all that we were doing.
You know, and the love of the Lord just flows from her, too.
We were the boots on the ground, you know. We were the boots on the ground that was keeping the story alive in front of the national media, and as in the background, people like Mike Huckabee and others, you know, and you guys were working, and he was planning the larger rally, and so, again, it was just an honor to serve, and that's our heart, is to be boots on the ground, to be the activists, to do what some might consider the dirty work, you know.
Well, you also were in Alabama when Chief Justice Roy Moore was going through his trial, too.
Yes. Another example of a moment, very just impromptu moment, where I said, you know what, we're going to just go to Alabama. We're going to drop everything. And unfortunately, my husband had to work in that time, and it was unusual for me to travel anywhere without my husband. But it was important enough for me to stand by Roy Moore and my kids to watch us stand with Roy Moore while LGBT activists were falsely accusing him and trying to get him removed from his position once again.
Yeah, and you know what? They intended for evil.
And he's been reelected. Amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? Maybe we'll have to send a thank you note to the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they started that whole ball rolling by filing the complaint against him. And now he's potentially going to be the next U.S. senator to the United States. He's on the track to do so. So it's amazing.
Yes, we will definitely be involved in assisting with his campaign.
Well, our guest is Elizabeth Johnston, and she is also known as the Activist Mommy. And she has the Activist Mommy on the Facebook platform and other social media as well. But the Activist Mommy is some Facebook that I would encourage you to connect with on Facebook. You'll have all kinds of great information that she puts out. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or want to talk to Elizabeth, give us a call at that number. Elizabeth, tell us about some things that have made your Facebook, your social media platform, such a success. I mean, you're unique in the way that you come across, and you have a way of encapsulizing in very poignant, sometimes funny, but provocative ways, the issues of our day. How do you do that? What would you suggest to other people that want to get involved and start making a difference?
Well, if you're speaking about the actual videos that I make, again, this is nothing fancy, Matt. I have literally for the last year used Scotch tape to tape my phone to my rearview mirror in my van, my 15-passenger van, to make these videos. This is not, you know, fancy. This is not high-tech. It's not rocket science. And then have posted those to the Internet. You need to be very brief. People are very ADD in our culture. They have short attention spans. And so you don't want to go over much more than 3 minutes in your communication. And you need to have content. You need to have good content that matters, that will cause people to want to click share on that video. And so I try to, you know, inspire. I try to cover topics that are going to really alarm parents and wake them up, you know, out of their slumber, if you will, and Christians and conservatives that matter to them, that will cause them to want to share the content and help us, you know, make a difference. I also post articles that are important on the issues of the day. For instance, you know, we would cover the Boy Scout situation. We would cover issues on abortion, Planned Parenthood. We would cover this weekend, big story, Newsweek, called the Values Voter Summit this weekend, a hate group, and said first time, you know, president has ever spoken in a hate group or something like that. You know, outrageous to call these gentle, loving Christians a hate group. These are the types of topics that I cover to push back on. And, you know, I've just been consistent, relentless with it. We've been posting the content daily, as well as memes and pictures and things that, again, will inspire people and get them engaged in the battle. And at this point, we just hit 300,000 followers over the weekend on Facebook.
And you've done, you know, that in about a year and a half.
It's God, though, Matt. It's God. I'm not going to say that it's because I've done all the things that I just said that I did. It just, God decided to place his hand on this for this moment in time, and he can remove it as fast as he gave it to me. And I have thought many times already in the last year that he was going to remove it.
Well, we've got Mark on the line, and also we have 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Mark from Kentucky, you're on the line.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, I had to compose myself here. I am so inspired and so excited about, Elizabeth, what you're doing. And coming from a man where it's, yes, and it's like, where are the men? That's one comment for everybody out there. And also, thank you for the amazing example that you do. It is just, I know you're not the only one out there. I know that, the thing is I know that you're just doing what God designed you and all of us in God's family to do. You are just an average example, I'd call it, of what a Christian family is about.
I mean, we're going to have to go to the break, Mark, but we'll be right back. Hang on. Our guest is Elizabeth Johnston, the Activist Mommy, 888-589-8840. We'll be right back.
You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Harvey Weinstein, co-founder of Hollywood production and distribution companies Miramax and the Weinstein Company, has now been exposed as a continuous sexual predator. This has been Weinstein's reputation in Hollywood for the last 30 years, but the horribly kept secret was exposed due to an undercover sting operation by New York police and an expose by the New Yorker magazine. No wonder Hollywood spews such smut into the culture. Their perverted works reveal their perverted hearts.
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Proclaiming God's faithfulness. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Radio. That's our theme this year for our Share-a-thon, Proclaiming God's Faithfulness. Folks, we count on you. We're listener-supported Christian radio, so we need your help during Share-a-thon. We know you'll come through as you always do because you believe in our mission. 26 years on the air and looking forward to continue serving. Please consider joining us with your financial support during Share-a-thon this Tuesday.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
My name is Jean. I live in Ardmore, Oklahoma, but I don't trust a lot of the media. I read two newspapers a day, and then I listen to your news, and it is your news that I really get my news from. Then based on what I hear on your news, then I read my newspapers, and I watch Fox News, and then every now and then I go over to CNN and MSNBC just to see how they're spinning something. I'm very concerned for my country, where we're going. I pray much for my country. But I so appreciate your radio station. I know all of your people by sound. They're my good friends.
Your partnership with American Family Radio keeps your family informed on the issues of the day. Join us for our three-day Share-a-thon beginning tomorrow. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week, President Trump declared that the Obama bomb deal with Iran was not in America's vital interests. Today came a fresh reminder of just how much Iran's ambitions are at odds with our security priorities. This morning, Iranian-dominated Iraqi forces invaded the Kurdish-controlled areas that voted in September to become independent. Oil fields and the city of Kirkuk appear to be the immediate target, but crushing the Kurds' aspirations for a sovereign state is surely the ultimate objective. It is no more in America's interest to see the mullahs consolidate their control of all of Iraq than it is to have them continue to make progress on acquiring the bomb. An independent Kurdistan would welcome U.S. bases, enabling us to help protect Christians and other minorities seeking refuge there, and creating a counterweight to hostile Iranian, Turkish, and Syrian regimes. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Our special guest is Elizabeth Johnston, also known as the Activist Mommy. We were talking to Mark from Kentucky just before the break. I'm going to go briefly right back to you, Mark. I didn't want to cut you off for the break, but I wanted to find out if you have anything else you wanted to say to Elizabeth. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Yes. Again, I was just trying to say in a constructive, in a encouraging way, that Elizabeth, you are doing some amazing things, some notable things, some noticeable things, in via social media and so forth. And at the same time, I feel that you're just a tremendous example of what an average, call it, Christian, true Christian, follower of Christ, person and family is to do. I mean, you're just, it is what it is. It's there you are doing what the Bible tells us to do, instructing your own children. It's like, when on earth did we decide to stick them off in a building somewhere so we can go off and pursue other things? I mean, and here you are now doing other things beyond your family life at a national level and saying, look, enough is enough. Let's get off our duffs and do something, because that's what slowly but surely happened in this once great nation, where we were centered on the Bible. We were using, employing the wisdom of God from God, and now it's no surprise we're in the condition we're in.
Yeah, well, thank you, Mark. Right. Elizabeth, you certainly are an example, both as a wife, as a mother, and an activist, and they're all growing
out of your
love for the Lord
and
your family.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that, but honestly, Mark, I agree with you. I believe I'm only doing my duty. You know, as the Word says, I'm an unprofitable servant, just doing what really we are expected to do. And I want to respond to what you said about where are the men. And certainly the mama bears seem to be, as they say today, woke. But it is a real concern that there does seem to be an absence in amongst God's men on these issues. And I really think that the feminist movement has been effective in emasculating the men and making them, you know, feel like really they can't do anything right. But we need the men to be the spiritual leaders of our homes. So much time is wasted that could be redeemed, that is wasted on TV and sports. You know, we don't have cable TV in our family, and we have made that decision basically all of our married lives not to do that. We've spent the time that would have been spent on sports and TV at abortion clinics, rescuing babies from abortion. And my husband writes books, and he just produced a full-feature Christian film. And, you know, these things could not be done if we were sitting on, you know, in our easy chair, wasting time, you know, while the world goes to hell in a handbasket. And so we could be much more effective for God's kingdom if we would redeem the time, because there's nothing more effective in the lives of our children than kids watching their mom and dad engage in the culture war.
Hmm. We're going to go to Marilyn from Arkansas. Marilyn, you're on the line.
Hey, thank you, Matt Stabler. You do great work. Thank you.
Thank
you, Elizabeth. I don't do Facebook, so how can other people who don't do Facebook follow what you're doing?
Oh, that's a great question. I am on Twitter as The Activist Mommy, and on YouTube as well. You should just be able to type in The Activist Mommy on YouTube, and my channel will pop up. All of my vlog videos are there on YouTube. I have my own website as well, activistmommy.com. And I'm on Instagram as well, so pretty much on all the major platforms. And we'd love to have you poke around and see what we're doing there, Marilyn. God bless you.
I will do it, and thank you so much for teaching your children, and it's a great example for the rest of us and the rest of the country. God bless both of y'all. Thanks a million.
Thanks. And we're going to go to Jane from Ohio.
Hi. I don't know if this is what you would be interested in talking about, but it's something that the parents need to wake up about. I keep hearing in our area about pajama day in school and or pajama week, and I think it's promoting laziness and sloppiness and lack teaching children to lack dignity. And I wondered if you could blog about that.
Elizabeth?
I've never heard
of pajama day.
That is pretty crazy. You know, there's really, honestly, it's kind of an odd thing, too, just being familiar with the public in general in your pajamas is quite an odd thing. And there is no such thing as modesty, you know, anymore in our society. It's fallen to the wayside. And yeah, that is odd. I mean, there are certainly many more issues taking place in the school that are much more troubling than pajama day or pajama week. But I wouldn't be a fan of that.
All right, we'll go to Judy from North Carolina, and our number, by the way, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Judy, you're on the line.
Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing, too. It's a passion of our country, is a passion of mine, too. But just one thing, every constitution in the United States has a preamble. And the preamble, according to the Law Dictionary, says that it's a clause at the beginning of a constitution which explains the reason for the enactment and the objects that seek to be sought. And every constitution in the United States, except Oregon, mentions God, Almighty God, or a form of or God of the Bible, one way or the other, in their preamble. And if it's not there, it's mentioned in the first sections, which are the Bill of Rights. So, and in North Carolina, and I'm calling from there, and we're one of the original 13 states, the preamble, so the purpose of our Constitution and the objects of it are, we the people of North Carolina, of the state of North Carolina, grateful to Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of nations, to the preservation, for the preservation of the American Union and the existence of our civil, political, and religious liberties. So it gives God the credit that he's the one that gave us these things. And acknowledging our dependence upon him for the continuance of these blessings to us and our posterity, do, and for the more certain part, establish this Constitution. So what we have, as long as people have to take an oath of office when they go into office, they have to take affirm that they will uphold the Constitution of their state or the nation, and every one of them talks about it's God. It's God that we honor. So where's the gratitude for Almighty God?
Thank you, Judy. Certainly, Elizabeth, it shows that we've come a long way from the founding principles, and that's what you see happening. This culture war is to literally erase that history and those founding principles.
Absolutely. It's very important, obviously, that the name of God continue to be acknowledged in our documents, the Constitution, as she has mentioned, the state constitutions. And I know that, you know, you have actively been involved in ensuring that that is the case, Matt. However, I would take it a step further, and I would say not only do we need to be sure to acknowledge God in our documents, but we must acknowledge God in our actions. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I was in Kentucky with Kim Davis, because Kim Davis was following Kentucky law. She was upholding Kentucky law by saying no to the same-sex marriage licenses, which the people of Kentucky had soundly, over 70%, voted down same-sex marriage. And so who was upholding the Kentucky Constitution? Kim Davis. Judge Bunning. And so that's one of the reasons I was there. And I think sometimes as believers, we stop short at saying, oh, we've got to make sure that, you know, in God we trust is still on our money and the name of God is in our documents. Yes, that is very important. And we never want to submit to the slippery slope of removing the name of God from those documents. But are you willing to be that person like Kim Davis who's going to take that name of God into the public sector, into your sphere of influence, and actually do what he says? There's the question. That's where the activism comes in and why I do what I do.
We're going to go to Sandy now from Texas. Sandy, you're on the line.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, one thing I wanted to talk about, encouraging the church, you know, regarding the abortion issue, you know, we spend the time going and protesting the Planned Parenthoods and saving the babies, but then what do we do with these women after they have the babies? Single women in America are the poorest poverty, you know, lowest poverty group. We just a few years ago, we had a facility open up in a town just north of me, and some volunteers from the fire department spent a year getting this house fixed up for these women to come. So this is the one area that the church, I want to see the church grow in, is taking the responsibility for these women and not let them be put on the government coffers.
Elizabeth?
Yes, that is certainly true. That is very important ministry of the church. And I will be honest, having been active for 15, 20 years in pro-life ministry, there is no shortage of volunteers
and believers who are waiting to assist women who do not choose abortion. The greater issue is us trying to convince these women not to choose abortion. We take women who choose life for their babies and make sure that they have all of the resources that they need in order to bring that baby to term and provide for the baby once the baby's born. And I find that believers in Jesus Christ are very charitable when it comes to this ministry. It's just not a popular ministry to be on the front lines of the battle rescuing these children. And that is the greater issue is not only rescuing them, being there on the front lines, but also protecting them by law and outlawing the child sacrifice.
You know, we've got other callers on the line, but we're also, I want to give you some moments towards the end. I think one of the callers here says, do you keep up with the so-called transgender issues in school? And you mentioned early on that was one of the things that catapulted mm-hmm. you, Kim Davis' case and the whole so-called transgender in school issue, and you're very much involved in that, and obviously that affects our children and our societies, our families. Mm-hmm. But in the final moments that we have with you, I want to ask you two things before we ask you to identify your websites again and your social media platforms. What would you suggest to people listening right now? You've already mentioned some practical things. You don't spend a lot of time, you don't spend any time really on cable because you don't even have it in your home, never have since you've been married. Mm-hmm. So you're spending your time on other things that are more important. Give us some practical tips in the few minutes we've got about how people can make a difference.
Sure. I would say make sure as a family that you try to get in into God's Word at least a few times a week, if not every day, every evening when your husband is home. Teach your children God's Word. Eat your meals together. Talk. Tie strings with your children. Play with them. Turn the devices off. While we're talking about devices, please make sure every device in your home, in your children's hands, in your husband's hands, is protected with some type of technology that provides accountability and lets you know what is going on in their device. If your devices are not locked down properly, I promise you people in your home are looking at pornography. This is really just huge in our families today. So, you know, you are the gatekeeper of your home as parents, and it is your responsibility to make sure that you're not, you know, providing pornography to your children every day, all day, which is what parents are naively doing by not having their devices protected. But, you know, raise your children on God's Word, get in church, and for those of you that are in public schools and can consider providing an education for your child where they are not being indoctrinated in atheistic and Marxist thought, please pray about homeschooling your children. I know that's not possible for everyone, but many, many more could than are considering that as an option.
And in 10 seconds, give us your social media platforms and your website.
Activistmommy.com. If you go there, you can get connected to all of my other social media platforms. I'd love to hear from you.
Activistmommy.com, that's the single source. You can get connected every place else. Well, our guest has been Elizabeth Johnston, the Activist Mommy. I encourage you to pray how God can use you and your family to change your community and America. We'll see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.